Well, hello everyone. We're living in extraordinary days. Everything is changing at a remarkable pace. But I want you to remember this one thing. Our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a really important thing to hang on to. It's natural for our human hearts to start to fear. So, how do we get our fears into some kind of perspective? Well, let's pray for a moment. Father God, we just come before you as your people. We find it hard that we can't meet together. But we thank you for technology that we can share something of you and your word together. And I just pray that this morning will be a help to each one of us in what we're facing in these days. And that it will give us confidence in you and all that you're doing. Amen. I want to look with you this morning at Psalm 27. So I'm just going to read that now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart and wait for the Lord. David is the author of this psalm, and he faced many fears during his lifetime. We know he was once pursued by King Saul, and Psalm 57 speaks of the time that he hid in a cave. David faced many enemies and many battles. And so surely David knows a thing or two about fear. We're not told the exact circumstances here, but we do know that David faced some enemies. He speaks of an army standing against him in verse 3. He also speaks of false witnesses and malicious accusations in verse 12. He even spoke about the possibility of his own family forsaking him in verse 10. So there's no doubt that David is under attack. But in all of this, David has great confidence in God. He has complete trust in his ability to deal with his fears. And indeed, he says in verse 6, "My head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." David demonstrates an ability to go on praising God even through and in difficult days. And surely that's got to be something worth hanging on to for us with our own fears at the moment. But how do we achieve this implicit trust and confidence in God? What's the secret of overcoming our fears? Well, firstly, I encourage us that we need to contemplate the character of God. David was a man who walked close to God. He is described as a man after God's own heart in 1 Samuel 13. And actually, the more you spend time with someone, the more you discover about their personality. Some of us are going to be spending a lot of time cooped up with our families, discovering a lot about each other. But when you are tempted to exasperation with somebody else, spare a thought for those who are living on their own or who are completely isolated, who would just love to have someone to talk to face to face. Why not get on the phone to some of these people and have a chat and give them an encouragement? Now, sometimes we can feel that we spend too much time in another person's company. But you know, we can never spend too much time with God. The more that we engage with him, the more that we learn of his character, his attributes, the more confident I believe that we will be in his ability to deal with our present situation. Listen to David again as he declares the personality of God in verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Even though danger was all around him, David trusted the Lord to deliver him from all his enemies. Where does that confidence spring from? From his understanding of God, and also from his previous experience of God delivering him in other difficult situations. If we think back at the life of David, he was delivered from bears, lions, giants, spears, and armies. Can we not look back and see God's faithfulness and his deliverance of us in many circumstances and trials in our lives? Can we not trust him with this virus that he has allowed to arrive at our doorstep? What is God trying to teach us through this? What opportunities does it present to us? Perhaps to reach out to our communities with the love of God, to demonstrate the confidence that we have in God when everything else seems to be being stripped away. I've already had some amazing conversations this week with people that I wouldn't normally come into contact with, on the phone, in the queue, at the supermarket. It's been weird actually not having lots of meetings to prepare for, but it is a time for me to develop, hopefully, my pastoral heart further for people as I'm spending a lot of time on the phone to people. It's also a time for us to understand a little better those in other parts of the world who struggle just for the basics of life on a daily basis. And it's also an opportunity for us to consider those who struggle to meet together for fear of the authorities, who perhaps have to meet in secret or just can't come together for fear of being tortured. What we can do is trust God to deliver us from our current circumstances, because he has proved faithful. The most amazing way that he has delivered us, of course, is from our sin and the consequences of our sin. That through the death of Jesus on the cross, we have someone who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. That we are going to be delivered from the punishment of our sins, and that we, whatever the circumstances now, are going to spend eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth, and all these things will be a distant memory. So if we can trust Jesus with our sin, and we can trust him with our death through the cross, with the hope of resurrection, surely we can trust him in these days with this virus. Even though David had no knowledge of the person of Jesus, only the promise of a Messiah, he still had faith in God. I believe the secret of his success in confronting his fears is found in the way that he confronted the giant man Goliath from 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." The battle, friends, in all of this is the Lord's. As Satan does his worst against us through sickness, perhaps unemployment, financial hardships, we need to look him figuratively in the eye and say, "The battle is the Lord's. I rest in his deliverance and his salvation." As Paul says in Ephesians, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." So contemplate the character of God. But secondly, I encourage you, do not forsake meeting with God. You might not be able to meet with others at the moment, but it doesn't stop you meeting with God. Seek the presence of God. That's what David recommends and looks to in verse 4. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David did not just live off the past victories, resting on his laurels, as it were. No, he desired a close fellowship with God now. It's great that we can rely on God in the midst of a storm, when we're down in the valley, that we can trust him to conquer our enemies. But we shouldn't really be waiting till all these problems come before we communicate with God, before our world is falling apart. We need to spend quality time with him. David says he desires to live in the temple. That would actually have been the tabernacle, tent of meeting. He desires to behold the beauty of the Lord. If we were David asking God for something here, what would we be asking for? I think we'd be saying, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. I'm your anointed king, God. You said I was going to reign on the throne of Israel. So, Lord, get me out of this situation. But he doesn't simply ask for removal. He asks for a deeper experience of the presence of God in the midst of his situation. David goes on to pour out his heart to God in prayer. Where is David's prayer? Well, it's here in verses 7 to 12. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. And I'll leave you to read the rest there. Present your requests to God. Enter into his presence. Pour out to him your fears, your anxieties. Naturally, fear doesn't just go away the first time that we tell it to. You might kind of bar it at the door, as it were, and say, you can't come in. But if we're not careful, it starts to climb in the window. Now, you need to go on committing everything to God on a daily basis. Think of Daniel under threat because he prayed to the true God. What did he do? He threw open his windows, the windows of his Babylonian apartment, and prayed towards Jerusalem three times each day. What's the secret of overcoming fear? Contemplate the character of God. Don't forsake meeting with God. And thirdly, rest in the protection of God. That's what Daniel did when he was thrown into the den of lions. He believed that God could, if he wanted to, shut the lion's mouth. And that lion's mouths, and that indeed was what happened. We need to trust God. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. I've always enjoyed snorkeling and swimming around the coast in Spain. It's a different world out there. But there are times when you can feel terribly exposed, where the sea gets a bit choppy, or you're thrown around on the tide or the current. You need to be careful you don't cut yourself on a jagged rock or step on a sea urchin. Sometimes you don't really feel quite in control. And, you know, it certainly feels like that now. We're not in control. It's always good when you're snorkeling, when you get out, you stand back on the rock on terra firma. And the reality is, friends, we are not immune from the currents, the tides, the storms that life can throw at us, particularly at this time. Indeed, as Christians, we're warned to expect trouble. But we do have a rock on which to stand. Psalm 62, verse 7. My salvation and honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. When it is dark, he is our light. When we are weak, he is our strength. When the fiery darts from the evil one come, he is our shield. When the enemy pursues us, he is our refuge. And ultimately, we know one day when our time is over in this world and he calls us to him, or he comes again, he is our salvation. Just as death could not hold Jesus, even should it come amongst us, it will not hold us, because we have eternal life in Jesus. I hope you do, through faith in him. There is one key word that we must return to, and it's in verse 1. That is perhaps the key verse. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I hope and pray that that's your confidence and that's your experience. Stop trying to battle your fears in your own strength. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your deliverance from sin and for these present circumstances. This is not just a simple formula here for overcoming fear just for these days and then to forget about it when things return to normal. This is about us developing a closer relationship with our Creator God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you all. I hope to speak to you again soon.